following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views of News Radio 830 KHVH, its staff, or management.
Now it's time for the Hawaiian Eye Show, sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better. This is your weekly informative hour all about eyes. Learn about cataracts. Ask a question about glaucoma. Find out how diabetes affects your eyes. Stay tuned for an entertaining and educational program about eyes and eye care. Call in to have your questions answered by the doctor. Now, your host, Harvard-trained eye surgeon, Dr. Christopher Tortora.
Good morning, everyone. It's time once again for our regular weekly program about eyes and eye care. It's called the Hawaiian Eye Show, and it's sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better. We're going to spend the next hour talking about glasses and bifocals, about laser beams and eye surgery. We can talk about your cataracts or your contacts, itchy eyes, droopy lids, and whatever it is that interests you. If you'd like to join in today, you can always give us a call. Our phone number here is 521-8383. We'd love to hear about your experiences and answer your questions. If you can't call in, though, or maybe you're feeling a little shy, you can always email your questions to us. Our email address is eyes@hawaiianeye.com. Or if you like to tweet, or you do Twitter, go ahead to twitter.com/Dr. Tortora, D-R-T-O-R-T-O-R-A, and tweet us your questions. And we can answer questions over the air in coming weeks. Look us up on the web while you're online, www.hawaiianeye.com. Subscribe to a podcast of this very radio program if you don't have time to listen on Saturday mornings or in the evening when it's rebroadcast. And you can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/Hawaiian Eye Center. During the next hour, we'll discuss eye news from around the country and around the world. Sometimes we'll do an eye quiz to test your IQ. We'll have a lot of fun today. And remember, all opinions expressed on this program are those of myself and the other medical doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center. That's Dr. Stephen Ree and Dr. Nancy Lundblad. We're all ophthalmologists, or IMDs. That means medical doctors who specialize in the eyes. Now, we're going to try to be very consumer-oriented today, make an effort to give you the best possible practical advice. But remember, since I can't see through the telephone, I may have to recommend an examination before I can tell you exactly what's going on in your eyes. So Hawaiian Eye Center does sponsor this program today as a public service. So sit back, relax, and enjoy an hour all about eyes. Well, let's talk a little bit about some common questions that we get, some questions that have come up in the office or outside the office during the past week. And one of the questions I got a couple of times over the past week had to do with what people refer to as floaters. Floaters are spots in our vision that appear to float in and out of the vision, thus the term floaters. Floaters is not a medical term. There are several medical terms for this, depending what is causing it. But the most common reason that people see floaters or floating spots in their vision is because of little opacities, little dark spots in the clear gel that fills the inside of the eye. So the eyeball itself is hollow. You know, the light passes in through the front of the eye. It passes through the whole eyeball itself and is focused onto the back of the eye, where the light-sensitive tissue converts the light energy, the light rays, into electrical signals that then go back to your brain and are interpreted as sight or vision. And so the light actually has to pass through the whole ball of the eye. It's a hollow ball, and so light passes through there. Now, the eyeball is not entirely empty. It is optically empty, which means that there's nothing in there that obstructs the light getting through the eye, particularly when we're young. But there is a clear gel that fills the inside of the eye, and this gel is called a vitreous gel. Vitreous is derived from probably a Latin word which means glass. So it's a glass-like gel. It's not really it's glass-like in the sense that it's clear, so that light passes right through it, but its thickness or consistency is more like a gel. That's why it's called a vitreous gel. And it's kind of thick like jello. So if you could picture your eye filled with optically clear jello, that's sort of the anatomy of what happens inside the ball of the eye itself, the hollow or the empty portion, or theoretically empty, at least optically empty portion that light passes through in order to be focused onto the retina. Now, the reason this has to happen is because if light were interpreted or were converted to electrical signals when it first hit the surface of the eye. So let's say we just had a light-sensitive tissue on the surface of our eyes. There'd be no opportunity to focus that light. So as eyes have evolved, or if you believe in creation, have been created. The eyes are created to allow for focusing power and for vision at a higher level by allowing light to enter the eye to be focused onto the back of the eye. And so that allows us to change our focus, for one thing, so we can see distance and we can see near, at least when we're young. And it allows us to also to see things in greater resolution, greater detail, because the image is being focused properly onto the back of the eye. So it's not just a kind of a diffuse light hitting the eye, but the light is entering the eye and then actually being focused down onto a point where the image is sharp. And so having an empty cavity inside the eye, optically empty, allows light to be focused properly onto the back of the eye and create a clear image. If you think about all of the models that we have that work similarly, that give us images, that give us clear images, you think of cameras where light enters the lens and then is focused onto either film or a light-sensitive digital image creator, a digital chip. Or you think about a movie projector or a TV projector or any type of projector where an image is being projected, usually through space, onto an object like a movie theater. You have the movie projector in the back of the theater, which is projecting the image onto the screen in the front of the theater. So it's actually light passing through a medium to give a good clear image. Now, an exception to this, which is basically a technological breakthrough, is a flat screen TV where the image is digitally placed onto the screen itself. And because that's not an actual projected image, it's a digitally created image, then that is a little bit different. So any time that an image is going to be in good focus and good resolution, it's going to usually pass through space and be focused onto a some kind of a screen or some kind of a light sensitive area, or sensitive, or you know, ability, some an area that can be focused onto, like a movie screen or film or a microchip or the retina in the back of our eye. So if that gel has dark spots in it that are moving around, and there are little opacities, little cloudy areas in that vitreous gel, then as they move around in your eye, they project a shadow on the back of the eye, and that creates an image of shadow, which we refer to as a floater. And a floater is nothing more than something that's kind of floating in and out of your vision, and in fact, that's what it is. It's a little bit of debris, a little bit of cellular material, or sometimes it's blood, or sometimes it's some other abnormal condition inside the eye, which is causing this floater in your eye. So floaters by themselves are not necessarily dangerous, but it depends what's causing that floater. So the symptom of having a floater, especially a new floater, when it suddenly comes on, means that something has changed inside your eye. There's now an opacity or a cloudy area in that vitreous gel that's moving around. Several things can cause that. Pathological conditions like bleeding in the eye from diabetes or from trauma or from other types of problems can cause blood inside the eye, which causes the sensation of floaters, usually a whole bunch of them. And this is a dangerous sign. This is something that needs to be checked out right away. So if you see a whole bunch of new floaters, that's something that needs to be checked out right away by an eye specialist, because bleeding in the eye is abnormal and often means something else is going on that sometimes needs to be treated or at least evaluated and observed. Other things that cause floaters, probably the most common thing, is an age-related change in that gel, that vitreous gel that fills the inside of the eye. As you get older, that gel shrinks a little bit and it pulls away from the back of the eye. In the areas where it was attached tightly to the back of the eye, a little dark area will often occur or will often form, and then that floats around inside the vitreous as an opacity or a cloudy area in the vitreous gel. And you can think about that dark area the way you'd think about a piece of paper that is glued to something else, and you pull the paper away, paper stays intact, but there's a little spot of glue on that paper, so there's a little spot in there, so the paper doesn't look as pristine as it did initially. And this is sort of an analogy of what happens in the eye as the vitreous gel pulls away from the back of the eye. There's an area where it's adherent or stuck to the back of the eye, and in that area, a little opacity or cloudy area forms, and then that floats around in your vision and becomes what we call a floater. So most floaters, and particularly when they occur in the 50s and 60s age-wise, tend to be due to the separation of that vitreous gel from the back of the eye, and we call that a vitreous detachment. So usually it happens in the back of the eye, which is referred to in medical terms. Back is posterior, and so a posterior vitreous detachment, or PVD, is the most common form of a floater, posterior vitreous detachment. Now, a vitreous detachment is not to be confused with a retinal detachment. The retina is the seeing tissue in the eye, and the vitreous attaches to the retina, but as it pulls away, generally it pulls away cleanly, but in some people, as the vitreous pulls away from the retina, that seeing tissue is very sensitive, very thin nerve tissue. As it pulls away, it can create a little tear in the retina. And if a tear occurs or a hole in the retina occurs, this increases the risk of a detachment of the retina, a retinal detachment, which is a much more serious problem. A vitreous detachment is a normal change that people go through as they get older. A retinal detachment is a pathological condition that requires urgent treatment in most cases. So a vitreous detachment can lead to a retinal detachment, so new spots, new floaters in the vision ought to be checked out. So if you suddenly notice spots floating in your vision, it's a good reason to get in to check your eyes and make sure that everything's okay. It'll often happen in one eye sometime in your 50s, maybe 60s, and then it'll happen in the other eye sometimes a few years later, sometimes just a few months later. Things can speed up the occurrence, so they happen at a little younger age or a little quicker. Sometimes having surgery on the eye, like cataract surgery, can increase the frequency of vitreous detachment and floaters if you haven't had one already by the time you have the cataract surgery, which most people have. And so all of these things are potential causes of floaters in our vision. All right, let's take a short break. When we get back, we'll talk a little bit more about some eye news, some eye issues, and of course, we'll be ready to take your calls.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
When you have a cataract, your vision gets gradually worse over time. You don't see as well.
Having the corrective surgery and now having the vision of a much younger man, I can see again.
Our state-of-the-art surgery center offers safety and convenience without a hospital stay. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, HawaiianEye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C-2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.
The Hawaiian Eye Show phone lines are now open. Give us a call at 521-8383 with your questions for the doctor. If you're calling from the neighbor islands, call us toll-free at 888-565-8383. Now, back to your host, Harvard-trained eye surgeon, Dr. Christopher Tortora.
Can you see me now? Hawaiian eyes, can you see me lost?
Welcome back, and you're listening to the Hawaiian Eye Show. We're talking about eyes, interestingly enough, since it is the eye show. And if you want to give us a call here at the studio, the radio studio, it's 521-8383 is the number to call, and we can certainly try to answer your questions. In the meantime, we're going to spend a couple of minutes talking about some eye news articles that I've come across over the past several weeks. It says here, most people are not aware of important nutrients that play a key role in ocular health. The new survey shows the majority of baby boomers rank vision as the most important of the five senses, yet do not receive proper eye care tests or nutrients. The survey, Eye on the Boomer, was released by the Ocular Nutrition Society at the American Academy of Ophthalmology meeting. Approximately 1,000 men and women aged 45 to 66 were surveyed to evaluate their eye care habits and gauge their level of understanding of the relationship between proactive eye care and ocular health. The survey found that 78% of baby boomers rank vision as the most important of the five senses. 55% of respondents say they worry about vision loss almost as much as they worry about heart disease and cancer. Despite the worry, almost half of the baby boomers said they do not typically have an eye examination annually. The baby boomer generation is characterized by their desire for independence. As this generation ages, many will be affected by some type of eye concern, which could impact their daily lives, said Jeffrey Anshel, OD, president of the Ocular Nutrition Society. We wanted to gain an understanding of how active boomers are about maintaining their eyes as they age and what they know about overall eye health. People at risk for heart disease, they typically make lifestyle modifications. This survey found that people are not as concerned, people are as concerned about their eyes, but do not know the simple steps they need to incorporate into their daily lives to take care of them. Experts recommend that disease prevention, including lifestyle modification, attention to dietary intake, and vitamin supplementation, could become a greater focus of primary vision care. Studies indicate that proper nutrition promotes ocular health, but many American diets are found to be deficient in the critical nutrients that help keep the eyes healthy. So what are those critical nutrients? What should you be eating? Well, you should be making sure that your diet, as with any healthy diet, includes high fiber, low fat in the diet, so more fiber, less fat, and that generally is accomplished by eating more fresh vegetables, fresh fruits, and whole grains. And so eating those as a more significant parts of your diet, fresh fruits, fresh vegetables, and particularly green leafy vegetables, that also contains the nutrients that we think are healthful as far as the eyes go. So that's something to bear in mind. It says many people surveyed were not aware of important nutrients that play a key role in ocular health. Almost 60% of respondents were not aware of the role of omega-3 fatty acids. 66% were not aware of the role of lutein, and 89% were not aware of the importance of zeaxanthin in their diet. So lutein and zeaxanthin are antioxidants that occur in fresh leafy green vegetables. Omega-3 fatty acids are found in fish and in certain plant materials and nuts, and seem to also play a role in eye health. So that's interesting to know. Okay, here's another article about medications that may affect the eye health. And this says long-term use of statins, which are medications used to control cholesterol. People with high cholesterol often take these statin drugs. It said long-term statin use reduced the need for cataract surgery. It says here, recent long-term statin use was protective against the need for cataract surgery in patients aged 50 to 64 years old. But short-term use was associated with the increased risk of cataract extraction, according to a study in the American Journal of Ophthalmology. The case-controlled study conducted at Kaiser Permanente in Southern California included over 13,000 patients who underwent cataract surgery in their first eye in 2009, and 34,000 patients who had an eye examination but did not undergo surgery. And then they went and looked in their records, and they said patients who underwent cataract surgery were older, more likely to be white, and appeared to have more coronary artery disease, but less diabetes, the researchers concluded. The proportion of statin users was greater among patients who had cataract surgery compared with those who did not have a diagnosis of cataract or cataract surgery. After an adjustment for age, sex, race, ethnicity, smoking status, diabetes, coronary artery disease, long-term statin use was protective against cataract extraction, where short-term use was associated with increased rates of cataract surgery. According to the age-stratified logistic regression analysis, using statins for 5 years or more was protective against cataract extraction in the younger age groups. Shorter-term use was associated with increased risk of cataract surgery. So, it says one strength of the current study is information on the large number of incident cases of cataract extraction and the electronic database on drug use, the study authors wrote. Additional studies will be needed to understand the difference in effect between longer and shorter term users of statins. So that's interesting. These cholesterol-lowering drugs, the statin drugs, have been shown to be of significant benefit in reducing the risk of coronary artery disease and several other things that are associated with high cholesterol. And the interesting finding here is that if you're using these drugs over regularly over an extended period of time, it actually reduces your risk for cataract, but in early users, it may be increased. And I don't know, you could probably think of a number of different theories for that, but my thought would be that the people who are using these drugs for a longer period of time, their cholesterol is better controlled because they've been using the medication for a while. So the cholesterol, the general health is better, whereas people who have only been using these drugs for a relatively short time frame are probably still suffering from the effects of high cholesterol and whatever issues caused their doctors to have them start using the drugs in the first place. right? So if you have just started using them, the benefits may not be as significant as they might be in someone who has been using them longer. We have an article here about stem cells, and stem cells are one of those issues that is talked about a lot in the medical news these days. Stem cells are cells that are derived, they can be derived from several different sources, but the most common ones are called embryonic stem cells, which are cells that are found in a developing embryo, which go on to develop into all parts of the body. So if you think about how a human being is created or develops, you start with a single-celled organism, which divides into many, many cells and differentiates. Each of these cells differentiates into individual parts of the body. It's actually an amazing process. But each part of the body has its own unique characteristics. And our skin, for example, is very different from the structures of our heart, which are very different from our eyes. And so several different structures in the eyes are all different. And so all of these are derived from single or multiple cells in the embryo, in the developing fetus. And so these stem cells, embryonic stem cells, have the potential to turn into pretty much any cell in our body. And so researchers, medical researchers, have been using this information to go ahead and try to create ways of replacing damaged tissue in people who have illness, various types of illness, that will help to restore the function or the structure that they're missing, which is causing their illness. So it says here, stem cells may someday enable vision to be restored. It says human-derived stem cells can spontaneously form in the tissue that develops into a part of the eye that allows us to see, according to a study published recently. Transplantation of this 3D tissue in the future could help patients with visual impairments see clearly. It says this is an important milestone for a new generation of regenerative medicine, says senior study author Yoshoki Sasai of the Riken Center for Developmental Biology. Our approach opens a new avenue to the use of human stem cell-derived complex tissues for therapy, as well as other medical studies related to the pathogenesis and drug discovery. It says during development, light-sensitive lining in the back of the eye called the retina forms into different structures. In the new study, the structures are created because they spontaneously emerged from human embryonic stem cells, and these were due to special cell culture methods that were developed by the researchers in the study. So these cells form the correct 3D shape, and the two layers of the retina, including a layer containing a large number of light-responsive cells called photoreceptors. Because retinal degeneration primarily results from damage to these cells, the stem cell-derived tissue could be ideal transplantation material. It says also, beyond the clinical implications, the study will likely accelerate the acquisition of knowledge in the field of developmental biology. For example, the human embryonic stem cell-derived optic, the retinal tissue is much larger than the tissue previously derived from mouse embryonic stem cells, suggesting that these cells contain innate species-specific instructions for building this structure. The study opens the door to understanding human-specific aspects of eye development that researchers were not able to investigate before. Interesting. So that is an interesting concept. Basically, what is new here? You know, we've talked a little bit about stem cells and using the stem cells to try to grow inside the eye, grow new tissue that's been damaged, and having some success with that in experiments in actually injecting these cells in their original form into the back of the eye and allowing them to kind of go where they will and do what they will and go and create new tissue that way, which can develop into tissue that develops a certain function. But what is new here is that these particular researchers have created a way in the laboratory of growing a bunch of this tissue, not just a few cells, but they take the cells and they grow them in such a way as to create kind of new retinal tissue. And this new retinal tissue, then theoretically you could say, gee, you know, here's retinal tissue, human retinal tissue. If we transplant that into the back of someone's eye in an area where the retina is damaged, is that going to allow us to help restore sight in people who have damaged retina for retinas for various reasons? And this is a very interesting concept. And so it'll be interesting to see what additional information comes from this. All right. Well, we're going to take a break to listen to the news. And we're also going to have open lines coming right up. So if you want to give us a call, 521-8383 is the number to call. We'll be right back.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
Hawaiian Eye Center offers complete eye care for the entire family. Now, cataract patients can reduce or eliminate their dependence on eyeglasses with premium cataract care in as little as 15 minutes. Their experienced surgeons have extensive cataract and general eye care experience. And they proudly welcome their newest eye surgeon, Dr. Stephen Ree. Dr. Ree brings a wealth of experience to the Hawaiian Eye Center team. To schedule an appointment with a member of the eye care team, call Hawaiian Eye Center today at 733-2020 or visit the website at hawaiianeye.com.
The news authority in Honolulu is News Radio 830 KHVH.
It's 72 degrees fair in Honolulu. I'm Julia Norton Dennis. Here's what's happening. Egyptians are deciding whether to install a remnant of the old regime of Hosni Mubarak or bring more Islam into government. The choices in this weekend's presidential runoff are bringing about anxiety and worry 16 months after Mubarak's ouster. One woman near Cairo says she's not voting for Mubarak's ex-prime minister Ahmed Shafiq or the Muslim Brotherhood's Mohamed Morsi, calling them thieves and liars. Syrian government troops are continuing to shell rebel-held districts in the central city of Homs, killing at least five people today. Another 12 were killed overnight near the capital, Damascus. Meanwhile, the UN says it's too dangerous for its 300 unarmed observers to continue their work in Syria, monitoring an international peace plan. Police have closed Auloa Road in Mauna Wili in both directions to allow a crew from the Honolulu Board of Water Supply to work on a water main break. That break happened just before 6:30 a.m. near 954 Auloa Road. It's not known how many customers are affected. A man who used to manage the now-defunct Waimanalo Puppy Mill is in Honolulu to face charges of animal cruelty. 37-year-old David Lee Becker was extradited to Honolulu yesterday from Las Vegas, where he was arrested June 8th. He's being held in lieu of $100,000 bail on 153 counts of misdemeanor animal cruelty. He will be in district court Monday for an initial appearance and arraignment and plea. Rich Miano, a former University of Hawaii associate head coach, has confirmed he will be Kaiser High School's next head football coach. The 1980 Kaiser graduate told the Honolulu Star Advertiser he wanted to give back to his alma mater. Island weather, sunny today, highs in the mid-80s. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low in the low 70s, and tomorrow, cloudy skies. Currently in Honolulu, 72.
Hawaiian Eye Center offers you complete eye care for the entire family. Now, cataract patients can reduce or eliminate their dependence on eyeglasses with premium cataract care in as little as 15 minutes. Advanced technology lenses are designed to provide good vision for distance, near and in between, with less dependence on eyeglasses. When cataracts blur vision, a short, painless procedure helps. If you have a cataract and want back youthful vision, call Hawaiian Eye Center at 733-2020 or visit hawaiianeye.com.
The phone lines are now open at 521-8383. On the neighbor islands, it's a free call, 1-888-565-8383. And now, here's Dr. Christopher Tortora.
Doctor, my eyes have seen the years and the slow parade of fears without Christ.
All right, welcome back, everyone, and here we are now in the second half of the Hawaiian Eye Show. If you do have questions, we have open lines now that we can take your calls. 521-8383 is the number to call from here on Oahu. If you're calling from the neighbor islands, there is a toll-free number, and you can call us also on the toll-free number. And that is, if you're ready to write it down, it's 888-565-8383. And we're happy to see what you'd like to talk about and see if we can answer your questions. Let's see what else we have here as far as news stories here. We have a story that says cerebral damage is a key risk for visual impairment in premature babies, preemies. Says cerebral damage and retinopathy of prematurity are both independent risk factors for vision impairment in preschool children who are born very premature, with cerebral damage, meaning damage to their brain, being the primary risk factor, according to a study published online in the Archives of Ophthalmology. It says cerebral damage and retinopathy of prematurity, which is a condition that develops in the retina in very premature babies, are both independent risk factors for vision impairment, meaning they may have trouble with their vision later in life, for preschool children who are born extremely premature, with cerebral damage being the primary risk factor. Karina Slidesborg, MD of the Copenhagen University Hospital in Denmark, and colleagues conducted a clinical follow-up study of 178 extremely preterm babies or children that were born prior to 28 weeks of gestation, born from February of 2004 to March of 2006, and a matched control group of 56 term-born or normal length of pregnancy children. Visual acuity, foveal sequelae and maximum ROP stage, as well as the presence of globe development, meaning the way the eye, of global developmental deficits, which would be ways that they test to see if there was damage to the brain, were evaluated to identify the importance of brain damage and ROP, the retinal problem, retinopathy of prematurity, for visual impairment. They found that all of these things increased with severity of retinitis, retinopathy of prematurity, and occurred more frequently in extremely preterm children compared with term-born children. There are independent associations between vision impairment and global development deficits, meaning damage, brain damage, moderate to severe foveal abnormality, meaning eye damage, and treatment of the ROP condition. So both having the retinopathy of prematurity, which is the eye condition associated with being a premature baby, and having being, you know, preterm, and having brain damage as a result, both predispose children to having more difficulty with their vision at an early age. Okay, so of course, vision difficulties at a young age can certainly affect development and educational opportunities, because children are basically taught in school, assume with the assumption that they can see okay and they can hear okay and all of that, right? So if there's a deficit or an issue with their hearing or with their vision, then that's going to have an impact on their development and their and what they do or how they learn in the classroom environment. Okay, so retinopathy of prematurity. Let's talk a little bit about that. It's kind of interesting. It's a condition that affects very premature babies, and it appears to be associated with oxygen use as the brain is developing and as the eye is developing in the developing fetus. There is a certain amount of oxygen that gets to the structures as they're developing, and the oxygen in the appropriate amounts is helpful in the proper development. What happens when a baby is born prematurely is that now we're starting to create a new environment for them that's not the same environment that they were in the mother's womb. And so by giving them supplemental oxygen, by giving them, you know, putting them in a lighter environment or a darker environment or, you know, something that's different than what they would be like in the mother's uterus, you're creating as kind of an artificial environment for them, which means that that may have an impact on the development of some of the structures, because obviously if they're born prematurely, the structures in their bodies, and particularly the eyes, are not properly developed yet. And so it turned out that, you know, years ago, when premature babies were born and they got a lot of oxygen, supplemental oxygen, because it was felt that that would help their lung development, because one of the things that happens with premature babies is they can't breathe very well on their own because they haven't developed their lung tissue as well at, by that stage, that they get a lot of extra oxygen, and this seemed to have an effect on the development of the tissue in the eye. It would cause proliferation of abnormal blood vessels in the back of the eye, and this seemed to be due to the oxygen exposure. So as the neonatologists learned to take care of these babies, they also learned that they had to watch the amount of oxygen that got to the back of the eye in order to be able to reduce the risk of this retinopathy of prematurity. And the other thing that they started doing is doing screening examinations in the nursery on these premature children to make sure that there was no evidence of retinopathy of prematurity in the premature baby's eyes. And so the baby's eyes can be examined, you know, similar to how we can examine an adult's eye, a little bit different because you can't get them to cooperate and look around or read the eye chart. But we can look inside the eye and we can look for abnormalities that would suggest that there might be some evidence of retinopathy of prematurity. And if so, then this can be treated. You can put the child under anesthesia and do some treatment with laser or other things that laser or freezing treatment that help to slow the progression of this condition called retinopathy of prematurity. And if it can be stabilized or controlled at its early stages, then generally it doesn't have a significant effect on the vision over time. But if it is if it progresses beyond a certain point, then it can definitely affect the vision and damage the eyes or the vision over time. All right, well, you're listening to the Hawaiian Eye Show. It's Saturday morning here when we're broadcasting live here on the program. If you're listening to us live on a Saturday morning, you can go ahead and give us a call. And the phone number here is 521-8383. We're here to answer your questions about eyes, about your eyes, about a friend's eyes, about something that has always intrigued you about eyes. Why, I don't know, why do our eyes have different colors? Whatever you're interested in, if you want to give us a call and ask a question, we'll go ahead and try to answer it for you. 521-8383 is the number here in the studio, in the radio studio. And if you're calling from the neighbor islands, or maybe you're listening to us on the iHeartRadio app on your iPad or iPod, you can call us at from the mainland. You can call us at 1-888-565-8383, and we're happy to again try to answer your questions. You hear us here on the Hawaiian Eye Show every Saturday morning. You can also hear us other times other than Saturday morning if you'd like by listening to our podcasts. If you go to hawaiianeye.com and click on the radio button, the top left, you'll see an option to subscribe to our podcast. You can get our podcast, or you can listen to the radio show right there online. You can listen to it, follow a link to the radio program, and listen to what we've been talking about over the past several weeks. We always try to get to some interesting eye news. We talk about some of the things that have been coming up during the week that people have been asking about, and then we go from there, just try to get you as much information as eyes about possible, part of our educational process. You can also find us on Twitter, where we'll tweet about some of these news stories, twitter.com/Dr. Tortora, D-R-T-O-R-T-O-R-A. If you do any of these social media, if you do Twitter, if you do Facebook, if you like to check on the website, follow our link to the Social Media Madness competition. We're looking at trying to enhance our presence online so that more people have access to our educational materials and things that might help in eye health. And so if you go to the Social Media Madness competition, there's a link on our website on the top right. There's a couple of tweets about it on our Twitter feed and our Facebook page, some information about it. You can go ahead and go to the Social Media Madness competition and vote for Hawaiian Eye Center and see if we are one of the top small companies in terms of social media in Honolulu. If we get enough votes, then we'll go on to the next competition, the next stage of the competition, so every vote counts. I think we're only a little bit out of the running for the next stage in the competition. I just got a call from someone who does some of our media marketing for us, who said, gee, you know, you're in 10th place. You need to be in 8th place to move into the next round. So go ahead and let everyone know to go and vote. So if you haven't voted, check out our website. Check out hawaiianeye.com. Check out our Twitter feed, twitter.com/Dr. Tortora, D-R-T-O-R-T-O-R-A, without spaces, and see if you can find that social media madness link and go ahead and vote for us so that we can be an exemplary example of what medical people can do to try to get the word or information out to the public about health. All right, let's take a short break. When we get back, we'll talk about some more iNews.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
With the latest technology, cataract care is often a fast, painless procedure with a rapid return to normal vision and normal activities.
It doesn't hurt. It just takes, 15, 20 minutes the most, and you're out. That's it.
We strive to make your procedure safe and painless. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, HawaiianEye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C-2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.
The phone lines are open at 521-8383. And from the neighbor islands, 1-888-565-8383. Now, back to Dr. Christopher Tortora, our host of the Hawaiian Eye Show.
Found in you, a brown-eyed girl. And you,
all right, welcome back, and here we are in the last segment of the Hawaiian Eye Show, so now's your chance if you want to give us a call. 521-8383 will get you here to the radio studio on a Saturday morning. So many different ways you can hear this radio program now online, on the radio program studio, rebroadcast. It's just great. Okay, now let's see, we have a couple of more news articles, if I can find what I just did with them. We have here, boy, it's not such a big studio. Where did I put those articles? We have an article here about gene therapy and how it might improve vision in patients with Leber's congenital amaurosis, which is a condition that affects young people. It's a genetic-related condition, so it's related to a certain gene defect in your eyes and in your body. Says gene therapy for congenital blindness has taken another step forward, according to researchers from the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia and the Perelman School of Medicine at the University of Pennsylvania. Three adult patients previously treated in one eye received the same treatment in their other eye, and the patients became better able to see in dim light. Two were able to navigate obstacles in low light situations. No adverse effects were noted. Neither the first treatment nor the readministered treatment triggered an immune reaction that canceled any benefits from the inserted genes, as has occurred in human trials of gene therapy and other conditions. The current research targeted Leber's congenital amaurosis, a retinal disease that progresses to total blindness by adulthood. The work is reported in the Science and Translational Medicine Journal. Patients have told us how their lives have changed since receiving gene therapy, said study co-leader Gene Bennett, of the F.M. Kirby Professor of Ophthalmology at University of Pennsylvania. They're able to walk around at night, go shopping for groceries, recognize people's faces, all things they couldn't do before. At the same time, we're able to objectively measure improvements in light sensitivity, side vision, and other visual functions. Other objective results came from brain signals seen in neuroimaging. When a dimly flickering checkerboard pattern flashed in front of a patient's recently treated eye, an area in the brain responsible for vision lit up during functional testing. This finding is telling us that the brain is responding to the eye's sensitivity to dim light. So Leber's congenital amaurosis is a group of hereditary retinal diseases in which a gene mutation impairs production of an enzyme essential to light receptors in the retina. The study team injected patients with a vector, meaning a genetically engineered virus, which carries a normal version of the gene, and that's the gene that is defective in people with this Leber's congenital amaurosis condition. The researchers found in the current study previously carried out a clinical trial of this gene therapy in 12 patients, four of them children aged 11 and younger. When they were treated, exercising caution, the researchers treated only one eye, the one with the worst vision. In this trial, they achieved sustainable and notable results, with six subjects improving enough to no longer be classified as legally blind. So the researchers' team's experiments in animals had shown that readministering treatment in the second eye seemed to be safe and effective. So while these results were encouraging, the researchers were concerned that readministering the vector in the untreated eye might stimulate an inflammatory response that could reduce the initial benefits. So they found that that did not happen, and in fact, they ended up with a benefit to these patients. So that's interesting. Gene therapy, that's another one of these really novel treatments that can create a significant benefit, perhaps, to people, to patients moving forward who have certain types of genetically related conditions, not only in the eyes, but elsewhere in the body. So once we can get past figuring out how to get those genes inserted into the area where they're needed, that's where the process is going to be most interesting. In this particular eye condition, it lends itself very well to this type of treatment because it's very specialized tissues in the body that are affected by this. Only the photoreceptors, only these light-sensitive nerves inside the eye are affected. And so if you can get that gene just into that area around the back of the eye, that's likely to be beneficial, whereas if you're trying to treat something that affects the whole body, that's going to be more difficult to get those new genes as a part of the structure and the function of what's going on in the tissues of the body. Okay, let's talk a little bit. Here's an article about optimizing vision for athletes, performance, and protection. So it says sports produce roughly 42,000 eye injuries in the United States each year, making eye safety an important consideration for athletes and those who prescribe their vision correction. So apparently almost every sport has situations in which eyes can be injured, but some sports are particularly high risk, and that risk is not always intuitively obvious. Year in and year out, basketball produces the greatest number of ocular injuries. These typically come from elbows and fingers to the face, which can produce moderate to severe eye injuries. Even cycling, another non-contact sport, puts participants in higher risk for injury from airborne debris. But football players, who suffer all sorts of other injuries, have few eye injuries thanks to the protective masks on their helmets. Soccer can also produce a significant number of ocular injuries, in part because soccer players, like basketball players, seldom wear eye protection. Soccer, too, has the potential for moderate to severe eye injuries. In the worst case, a soccer player could suffer a point-blank kick to the eye or orbit, possibly causing a bone fracture or damage to the eye. More often, though, their injuries consist of corneal abrasions or retinal damage, such as which can occur from blunt trauma. Baseball and hockey players risk being hit in the head or eye by very hard, very fast-moving objects. Sight-threatening injuries are possible. And recently, Vancouver Canucks center Manny Malhotra was hit in the left eye by a puck, which left him with a career-threatening eye injury. So hockey puck size and shape allows them to fit into the orbit, making them particularly dangerous, because that means that the eye is not being protected by the bony orbit that surrounds it, because the puck fits right inside that area, so it doesn't afford protection, whereas you can't imagine a basketball actually getting inside the orbit, so it doesn't actually damage the eye itself. That makes them particularly dangerous. Unfortunately, junior hockey players are now typically required to wear eye protection, but these requirements do not yet exist at the professional level where the kids' role models play. Okay, so that's interesting that if you're a child learning and your role models are not wearing eye protection, does that make you less willing to wear eye protection? Interesting point. So the field itself, field of play itself can produce additional, can present additional hazards. Baseball players, other outdoor athletes have environmental factors to contend with, such as windborne dust, ultraviolet exposure from sunlight. So then they go on to talk about ultraviolet radiation and a damage that can occur. Before we read a little bit more about eye protection in sports, I want to go to the phones. We've got Shirley standing by in IA. Hi, Shirley. Welcome to the program. Hello. You're on the air, Shirley.
Thank you for taking my call. I have a problem with dry eyes, And I tried to, you know, the tears will well up, and I tried to blink it off, but I have to rub it off because it turns out to be mucus, a film that covers the eye. Is there any cure for dry eyes?
Have you talked to your doctor, your eye specialist at all?
Yes, I was told to use a lot of those artificial tears.
Okay,
but
well,
it's still, dry. You know, I use it, and then it turns out into a film that covers my eyeballs, so I have to keep on rubbing.
Well, you should try to avoid rubbing your eyes, because that may make the problem worse. Dry eyes is a whole spectrum of disease. It can give symptoms ranging from irritation to blurred vision to tearing to redness to mucus discharge. So there's a lot of different things that contribute to the dry eye condition. And the first step in treatment generally is to use moisture drops or tear drops. And if one is not working well, you can try a different one. But there are also a number of other treatments that can be done that are helpful if the initial treatment is not making a difference. So my advice to you is to go back and see the doctor again and say, gee, you know, I tried using the tear drops and it didn't really make much difference. Is there anything else that you can suggest or you can recommend? And there are a number of other treatments that may be options for the tearing or the dry eyes. And also the tearing may not be coming from dry eyes. There may be something else that's causing it, particularly if you're getting the mucus discharge and so forth. So it's something that needs to be evaluated again if you're not any better. So that would be my advice. Go ahead and check it out again. See if there's anything else that they can recommend. Since there are so many different types of dry eye and so many different types of treatments that we can try, I can't really give you advice over the phone that I know will work for you.
Oh, I see. All right. Thank you. I will do that.
Okay.
And thank you very much.
Good
luck. I appreciate your program.
Okay, good.
Very interesting.
All right. Aloha. Okay, so dryness of the eyes is a very common problem. It generally affects people more as they get older, and that dryness can cause tearing, as this last caller was talking about, having teary eyes. But it's not always the cause of tearing. There are several causes of tearing, ranging from dryness of the eyes and reflex tears being produced. The eye's too dry, the brain says, oh, too dry, let me make some extra tears, and then extra tears are made to compensate for the dryness. But there's also the possibility of the fact that the tear drain is blocked or that the eyelids are abnormal in some way that are interfering with the normal function of the tear film. And because the tears can't drain out of the eyes properly, then they end up running down the cheeks or creating that sensation of tearing. And then people are constantly rubbing or blotting or trying to dry the tears because it's annoying and frustrating. And plus they're embarrassed because people are watching them tearing and they're like, well, what's wrong with you? You're crying. And so it is something that sometimes we can help with. Sometimes it's difficult to treat, though. We've been here for an hour now talking about eyes and eye care, and I've had a lot of fun, and I hope you have too. I'd like to thank Mike and MJ for helping out here in the studio, and I'd like to say thanks to all you listeners for making this show work through your calls and through your letters. If you enjoyed our program today, be sure to tell your friends about us or check us out online and listen to more radio programs. It's HawaiianEye.com, and if you click on the radio link, you'll find old radio programs, and you can subscribe to our podcast. If you have a question, you can always email it to us or tweet us. Our email address is eyes@HawaiianEye.com. Check us out on Twitter at twitter.com/Dr. Tortora, or go to facebook.com/HawaiianEyeCenter, and reach us that way or hear about what we're talking about there. It's sure been a pleasure talking with you. The Hawaiian Eye Show is sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better. I'm Dr. Christopher Tortora. Thanks so much for listening, and aloha.
You've been listening to The Hawaiian Eye Show, sponsored by the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, with Harvard-trained eye surgeon Dr. Christopher Tortora. If you have an eye problem, want to get a second opinion, or aren't seeing as well as you used to, make an appointment with Dr. Tortora or one of the doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center in Central Oahu or Hilo by calling C-2020. That's 733-2020. Until next week, here's looking at you.
When you have a cataract, your vision gets gradually worse over time. You don't see as well.
Having the corrective surgery and now having the vision of a much younger man, I can see again.
Our state-of-the-art surgery center offers safety and convenience without a hospital stay. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, HawaiianEye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.
The Rush Limbaugh Show.
What we have to do is get rid of liberals and socialists from positions of power.
Weekday mornings at 10 on KHVH Honolulu, Hawaii's home for Fox.